This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Pepe in the back firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Did everybody make it in safely with the freezing temps outside?
Yeah, there was nothing. Not a drop of water.
I had some flurries.
I think I may have noticed a flurry or two.
Lake effect snow, as they call it.
Yeah, just it looked like it was just the frost, the ice on my windshield. It was just speckles of ice. It did not even thaw by the time I got here. There was still some on there.
You're not parking inside?
No, we don't have our garage is full of stuff.
Dude, you gotta park inside the garage.
No, we don't have. I couldn't fit the truck in the garage anyway. But the car sits on the side of the street. We have no room. That's storage. The garage is storage.
What's there's in there?
Oh my God. I'll take a picture of it. I don't know.
Are you hoarding or they're absolutely necessary things? You just haven't had like a big yard sale.
We're not hoarding. It's stuff that we need to either give away, sell, get rid of. But you know, for whatever reason, there's hardly, I would say 90% of the people in my neighborhood park in the driveway because their garage is for storage. They just don't have enough room in the house.
Not going to get a storage unit.
No, it's like $200 a month. I had one. It's just not, I don't need the stuff like that. You know, a lot of the stuff is my dad's, like golf clubs and baseball stuff and
see, he's got to just cram things into a garage, can't even park in there in a freeze. Meanwhile, over at the Sean Mahal, they got 20-foot Christmas trees just to fill up all the space they got. No, I'll tell you the thing that sucked this morning was I had turned on the heater on full blast last night. And I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up early tomorrow, start the car. That way I can just jump right in and it'll be warmed up and defrosted and everything else. My mother-in-law took the car last night, asked if she could take it to go get something. I was like, yeah, sure. So she went and took it. She had turned off the heater. So I remote started that thing, jumped in the car after 20 minutes, and it was still freezing cold, and the window was completely frosted over because she didn't thaw it out. But that was the only pain in the neck. I'm hoping we didn't lose power as a bunch of people started reporting around Dallas at about 5 a.m. this morning. Dallas, Plano, Louisville, people have started losing power, but other than that, no, not so bad.
Yeah, I think the rain that was there throughout the day got dried up by the wind.
Yeah, probably did.
The wind took care of that, and then I have to rely on Pepe as my traffic alert in the morning, so I side texted him, and I was like, good, coming in from Rockwall our way, and he's like, yep, good, although I walked in and saw someone sleeping over there.
Yeah, somebody's sleeping there. I don't know who that is.
Looked like, was that Kevin Walker?
I think it's Kevin Walker.
You could have said any name in the world, and I would have said sure.
Yes.
It's one of Joe Trahan's former students. So I'm going to go speak to tonight.
All right.
Excuse me?
I'm going to go speak to North Texas students tonight. The man who never went to college is going to tell college students how to make it.
Are you going to wear your shorts that you're wearing this morning? What a dummy.
There was talk about us. Look, here's, I told Kristen this last night. I was like, we need to get me sweatpants. Because my my pant options.
What is that pair of sweatpants?
Stop talking for a second. Let me and RJ speak amongst ourselves. No sweatpants.
No sweat. I have like 8 pairs of sweatpants. Like, who doesn't have a pair of sweatpants? I have to get like a new drawer, a new dresser just for the sweatpants because they take up so much room.
I have all the rooms taken up by shorts. So there's no room for that. So my options are either shorts, jeans, or dress pants. Those are the only things I have to put on the bottom half of my body. And swim trunks. And so when I wake up in the morning,
Does anyone else listening not have a pair of sweatpants as a man, as a guy?
A single pair.
There's a reason why. Kristen has tried to buy them before. She says she knows I hate this is one of those little serial killer traits like we talked about yesterday. I can't stand the little claspy feel of sweatpants down around your ankles. And she's like, that's all they really, she's like, I look for sweatpants that don't have the jogger, like, set up anymore.
Just wear high socks. Just wear like the Nike high socks like I wear. I just wear high socks. Don't wear ankle socks.
So you
socks.
Don't feel the clamping.
Exactly.
You're talking about like that it's too tight your fankles?
You don't like these.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of anything.
Look at these.
Okay, so where did you get those?
He got those in 2004.
Yeah.
That's where he got
them. Give me a pair. Yeah. No. So that's the thing.
They have to sell sweatpants that aren't so capris down low.
My question, the question that was facing me this morning is, do I want to be cold or do I want to be uncomfortable by wearing jeans, which I hate wearing jeans?
You know you should do.
And so I'm going to wear shorts because I'm only going to be outside for 20 seconds at a time.
Get a pair of breakaway pants that they wear in the NBA, just those breakaway basketball pants.
So for Indy, you're planning on jeans?
Yeah, because it does get cold there.
But did you wear jeans at the Super Bowl? Although it wasn't freezing.
Yeah, he wore shorts.
Yeah, I wore shorts most of the time. But no, yeah, when I go to Indy, typically I'll bring a few pairs of jeans.
So what are you going to wear tonight and what are you supposed to be talking about?
So if I'm on Zoom, because that was the discussion, Joe was trying to figure out if we're going to do Zoom depending on how the weather was, which it looks like it's fine. So I would guess I'm going in. So I don't know, a polo and jeans probably.
Okay.
And then I'll wear a jacket over it.
Nice.
And so I'll dress for, I have
a jacket?
No, like not like a sports jacket. Like, oh, I'm saying I will wear a coat, so I'm not just wearing a polo in 10 degree weather, is all I'm saying.
And the topic?
I just supposed to talk about, like, so it's a PR class that he has there. So just talk about how I got involved in media. And basically, it's just a course to like teach them how to deal with media and media relations and stuff.
So it's basically a discussion about me.
Well, yeah, I mean,
getting you here.
I think it's less about that. I think it's more about like,
Mike,
this
Fisher
is how you handle a difficult individual. Like here's your test with a difficult individual that angers PR staffs
ask
all the time.
Ask Joe, my question I want you to ask the former Cowboys PR Joe Trahan, who on the Cowboys is the Bobby that he dealt with? That's the question I want to ask.
Like a player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
okay.
It Dez? Like who?
Oh, no, Dez, he loves Dez. Yeah. They're tight. That's his boy.
It's tough. I don't know. Like Bobby's
Scandrick? No.
Oh man.
Bobby's much more pleasant than Scandrick.
He's more pleasant, but he's also more rigid, probably. Like with his, he has things he will and won't do because of Bobby's personality.
I bet Orlando's like that too. Things I will and won't do.
That's a good
quirky. Who's a quirky? Amari?
Amari's smarter than I am.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work.
Well, it's not going to fit everything, okay?
No, I know. We just got to find something that checks like 3 out of 4 boxes. Joe did tell me recently, though. He was like, yeah, very early on when you started, I was like, this guy's a jackass. He's like, but I shifted over time. I realized like, oh, this is a lovable trait of yours.
Yeah, and that's why you say his name 50,000 times every single week, more than Jerry Jones. He's not even with the Cowboys anymore. You gave him his airtime.
He's with Tony Faye PR
now. Speaking of the Cowboys, yesterday a lot was taking place in Frisco. Take us inside the Ford Center after the show, Bob.
Yeah, so the Dallas Cowboys made their assistant coaches available, which they do this every year. Whenever they finalize the assistant coaching staff, they have everybody come out to the Star and get a chance to talk to each one of them. So you'll get the coordinators up by themselves, and then it's just kind of a free-for-all with assistants underneath that. But this was a good chance to finally hear from a lot of these people that, you know, fans have become a little familiar with through, you know, word of mouth, but don't necessarily know about these guys. So Clayton Adams was probably the big one yesterday that I think people were most interested in hearing from, because he's going to be a big part of what they do in the run game and a big part of how they structure things and how they install for the week. And the plays that are going to be on the call sheet for Schottenheimer to call are going to come from Clayton Adams installing them. So he's going to have a big hand in this. Even though he's not calling the plays, he's going to have a big hand in this. So do you want to just jump right into these Clayton Adams cuts? Okay, this is a cut one. This is specifically Clayton Adams talking about having to blend his concepts with Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're at, is just trying to mesh what the vision of what he wants is, because he's going to call the plays. And so I think it would be dumb on my part to try to force a lot of things on that call sheet that he doesn't want to call or he doesn't feel comfortable calling. So I have not had a major background with him. I had talked football with him in the past. I had known him a little bit, but we're really excited. I'm very excited to work with him and just to continue to learn each other a little bit. And I think that's always going to be a process of, we're all molded a little bit by our experiences. And so there's going to be, we're going to get out into some practices and talk through some things, and I'm going to see some things differently. He's going to see some things differently. And it's going to be a growing process. You get into games and you have to have those same type of experiences, both good and negative.
That's something that was kind of surprising about the Clayton Adams hire, is that he and Schottenheimer don't have a history with each other at all. They've known each other in circles a little bit, but a lot of these hires Schottenheimer made were just, I got a good recommendation for this guy, I'm going to hire him, or I heard he's really strong, all right, let's kind of do a reset here. I think when Schottenheimer talked about changing the culture, I think a big part of that for him was just, let's make sure we don't have any biases or anything else carrying over. Like, let's try to do as clean a reset as we can. So I'm going to hire people that I just get good recommendations for that I haven't necessarily worked with before. And so they're going through this process now of just even understanding what it is that each of them thinks and how they blend those concepts together. And he said it there. That's probably going to be something they're still working on going into training camp and practices, where that'll be a big focus.
It's a learning curve. I mean, the trying to work together on game day, if you've never worked together before, that's a learning curve.
You are going to need 100% attendance from the offense during OTAs, I think, because that's going to be critical time for them to just flesh everything out and get a lot of those logistics figured out.
Yesterday, Nick Eatman sent me a side-by-side photo, and it was Bobby next to new offensive coordinator Clayton Adams. And I'm not going to read what Nick wrote, but I was trying to figure out exactly what he was trying to get to. Is he trying to say you guys look like brothers or twins?
I don't know if that was what he was saying. I initially took it to be like he was about to tweet the picture and I was going to get just roasted for looking like in a trance, is what I thought it was about. But okay. You could be, you're probably right.
This is going to be a problem. What do you take that as, Choppy? This is going to be a problem. From Eatman, is he trying to say he's going to confuse the two of them?
Yeah.
And for our new web guy, this is a lesson. When we talk about stuff like this, we're going to start popping these things up on the fan cam like Ryan used to do back in the day so the audience can get the side-by-side shot and they can...
Yeah, that's definitely because they look very, very similar, although Clayton knows where his razor is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there was a comment on the draft show yesterday. Somebody left one and they're like, "Dear God, would you please shave your neck?"
Didn't someone over the weekend recognize you by your neck beard?
Yeah, we talked about it. When I was in Allen, I'd walked into a racetrack and somebody was like, "Can I get a picture?" I was like, "Yeah." And then he's like, I would recognize that neck beard from anywhere.
Does Kristen not like make you shave it?
Does Kristen make him do anything? No.
I mean,
he's wearing shorts and it's minus three outside.
Women in general do make us do things. In general.
Not me. I do what I please.
You haven't spent enough time around them, but I think she does a certain amount of commanding.
Exactly. Okay, so this is we're going to go to cut three now, Peyton. This was a quote that was getting a lot of traction yesterday. He was asked about if this particular job right now, since he's not calling plays, is this a stepping stone? All right, are you planning on calling plays here at some point, or is this an attempt to get an opportunity to call plays elsewhere? Is this job just a stepping stone?
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective before. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to feel like down the road or any of those things to answer your question, but I am excited about the opportunity and the fit for what I think that this job is going to be, which, really is trying to figure out. At the end of the day, our job when we're putting things on the call sheet is to be problem solvers. And so we're trying to figure out what do we do good and how do we make that look multiple? How do we make that look different? And so that's the part that I'm really looking forward to focusing on. And I think it's also it's a leadership position within a great organization. So that's the part that I'm looking forward to the most. And that, you know, the answer your question about down the road, I don't know yet.
That's something that was that got a lot of people encouraged on social media yesterday, is just the thought process of our job is we are here to solve problems and we're here to make this all work together and make simple things look complex and just try to present as multiple a look as we can on all these basic things. Schottenheimer talked about that in his opening press conference. One of the big things they're going to be drilling down on is making sure their runs and their passes look the same on dropbacks, yeah. And like making sure that everything. Nice. I mean,
what a novel concept.
It's almost as if Jalen Milroe is showing everybody at the Senior Bowl how his feet are different. What you need to do when you need to disguise things.
But think about it. That is going to take a lot of precision from everybody on the offense, not just from design. It's going to take it from guys executing and all other steps looking the same every time. And that's going to take a lot of attention to detail that this roster has not shown a great ability to take to attention to detail in recent years.
Well, it makes me, number one, yeah, the sarcastic indictment was of the previous regime. But then my follow-up question is, if Mike McCarthy was sitting in here, I would say, all right, did you not try to do more of those things because your guys weren't capable of it from a detail or intelligence standpoint, or that just was not your thing? That's what I would ask Mike.
It's like how Zimmer was disguising a lot with the defense, and people were saying, well, why weren't we doing more of that? Well, Dan Quinn felt like they couldn't handle the disguises.
Yep.
Dan Quinn felt like we need to make this as static as possible so guys just know their responsibility and execute. And that's something that the offense, we'll find out pretty quick if that's the case.
We'll find out. Yeah. All right, there it is. Part one of your Inside the Star report. He is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, the only person full-time on air who is heading on over to Frisco right after his four-hour show to bring you everything on the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Mavericks, somebody finally admitted it. Someone finally admits what we needed to hear, or maybe you didn't. And do we have another Luka deal in the works? Next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Was this a smart and needed comment to make, or just another mistake coming from your, maybe not your anymore, Dallas Mavericks? Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. club here with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Mavericks CEO, according to SI Now, Rick Welts, says he, quote, probably underestimated the reaction from Mavs fans over the Luka AD trade. The reaction. I posted this to all my socials, and the majority of the reaction was, no S, dummy.
Yeah, I think he's probably right. They probably underestimated the reaction. My question is, how? How did you underestimate the reaction?
Okay, if we were sitting down in the PR meeting, and again, we reached out to Mavs PR, I wanted to actually have someone from Mavs PR on. Pepe says they did not get back. Which is not surprising. We sit down before this, all right, and we say, all right, the scale's 1 to 15. 15 is they're protesting and their caskets outside the AAC. What do we think the reaction will be? What do you think their answer was?
It should. Their answer was probably 7, 8.
That low?
Yes. They're completely oblivious to what DFW is. I'd never heard of this guy before.
Is this an import? Yeah. I was thinking like the PR staff that had been here, but yeah, if it's DeMont, if it's Adelson, if it's Welts.
Welts was with Golden State.
Warriors.
And before that, he was with Seattle.
So I'd be like, Rick, imagine trading Steph in his prime.
Yeah.
What would the Warriors have done? They would have turned California into an even bigger crap hole than Barkley says it is.
And like, I have no idea what, like, you know, Warrior fans are typically good fans, or very, very loud. At least they were back in the day.
Yes.
You know, but like, are they as provincial as we are? Like, we, again, like, we want to like who we're rooting for. It's just the way it is. We want a homegrown team. You know, they seem to love the KD Warriors just fine.
I don't think they thought of it in these terms specifically, but I bet they thought they were going to get a reaction similar to the one that the Cowboys got for Amari Cooper, where it's like, this is a bad trade. Like, people would complain about it and just go like, but they'd be like, it'll play out over time. So it'll, but I think they just thought it'd be like that's a stupid trade. I don't think they had any idea this was going to be, no, you just devastated a fan base. You absolutely crushed them. Like, he doesn't, for all his comparisons to, is Luka Kobe, like, imagine if in 1999 the Lakers would have traded Kobe, or in 2000 the Lakers would have traded Kobe. That's what you did. You traded somebody who was just, because at the time you mentioned yesterday, Kobe became an all-time heel, but 1999, 2000, 2001, Kobe was squeaky clean, shining example of, oh, this is the next Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And That was something where if they would have done that, that would have been roundly criticized even in kind of a passive, casual fan base like the Lakers.
It's just amazing how certain people, even though they work for a team, can be in a different bubble. Like, how are we having the same discussion about potential fan reaction? You were
That's
there
a great question.
At every game. You see the merchandise sales. You see the jerseys in your arena. And you still, it doesn't compute. Dirk is the previous Luka.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see how he is a god floating around here. And you don't see the same thing just in terms of measuring the outrage. That would be yeah. unbelievable.
You know, like, again, you know, and part of it is like, you know, Cuban, Jerry, they, you know, they live here. I have no idea where Patrick DeMont lives. Does he live in Vegas? I don't know. Does he live here?
Right.
I have no clue. I mean, he's at every home game, so he either lives here or he's spending a lot of his time here.
Yeah. Does Welts even live here? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, when you're a CEO, we're in a virtual world now, unless you work for JP Morgan. you know, you can do everything remotely. You don't have to live where you work.
Welts also added this. The most important thing I'll probably do while I'm here to make sure we get that right is the new arena. This will hopefully be the greatest expression of what Maverick fans would expect when they walk into the arena to see a game. It will have everything about Texas and Dallas that we can bring to it. Now we're going to localize things. To give it a shape and form that will be a foundation for economic competition over the next 30 or 40 years. That courtesy of Brad Townsend.
What is...
Except your hometown hero yeah. of everything that represents.
You're gonna have everything except for.
DFW and Texas.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is... So he was announced as the next CEO on December 18th. He took the position. He came into it January 1st. We know that Nico first talked with Rob
six
Pelinka
days later,
January 7th, which means he had already, by all accounts, Nico had already made up in his mind over the course of time leading up to it that I need to make a move. So, I mean, was that Welts was brought on with, by the way, you're going to have to go get this arena? And I assume, I mean, I don't know, there may be public funding involved. Is that the case? Like, hey, you're going to go have to lobby for this or help us figure this out without this big superstar being here? And if Rick Welts saw that, said, I can do that, then it's a third person that just doesn't know what they're doing here.
It just hits me every once in a while when I'm doing like show prep or reading or watching the league. I'm just like, Luka Doncic isn't here. Like I have to like remind myself of it. Like, Luka's gone.
It never seemed like it was possible.
No, it didn't.
Like, I mean, the only thing, you were always worried about him leaving. Like, oh, what if they don't, we got to walk on eggshells, make sure that he's not bitter or that we're doing everything that they need to do for him. Never in a million years would you have thought they would have purged him.
And the fans will come back eventually. All right. Eventually they'll come back. But it's going to be a while.
You got to find a right yeah. star. You got to draft the next someone.
Mm-hmm. With which picks? That's the problem. It's like, when will that happen? I just think it's, if Rick Welts knew this.
That's the other thing. You could have replenished your draft system like Oklahoma City has done, like the Utah Jazz are doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, just get like the, like Boston did this too for years. They had so many first round picks. Like, that's how you do it. That's how you build a championship team. You build through draft.
It's just, I can't. Specifically for Welts, too, to not have this understanding. This is a guy who, you mentioned it a second ago, worked for the Sonics. Like, was a PR director there, lives in Seattle. Like, knew what the Sonics leaving Seattle did to so many fans out there and, like, how upsetting that was to people there. He did the player version of, like, moving the Sonics out of Seattle. Like, that's what he just did by them trading out Luka. And for him to not have an understanding of what fan backlash looks like is... It just reeks of ignorance to me.
And it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary to be like, oh my God, you're capable of this and you didn't realize it. Do we have another Luka-type deal in the works? I'm already afraid. I'm hoping this deal doesn't happen just because I don't want to have compensation nightmares.
Oh, you will.
Ja Morant? Maybe? According to Howard Beck, the report is, I'm constantly checking in with executives around the league. And Howard Beck, are you familiar with him, Chop?
I know his name. I've heard of. I can't tell you what publication he's with, but I do know him.
Isn't he New York Times basketball writer?
I don't know. His posts are protected, but I've heard his name a good amount over the years. Anyway, Howard Beck said, I'm constantly checking in with executives around trade deadline time. What we hear, what we see, what's on the lookout. Somebody out of the blue said, keep an eye on Ja Morant this summer. I'm just saying it's one of those things I'm just kind of keeping an eye on if they were to flame out early. So that's Howard Beck hearing some slight flurries and whispers about Ja.
The Mavs shielded the rest of the NBA. Like, there no trade will... They're protected by the Mavs. Like, no trade will shock the world the way the Luka trade did. And, you know, look, Ja Morant getting traded, it would not stun me if Memphis was like, all right, look, he's had his run. We're moving on. All right. There's been enough in the background that has happened, but you're going to get 5-6 first round draft.
They're second in the West.
Yeah, I know. They're a good team.
Maybe he's not fixed behind the scenes. Maybe he's still a pain in the rear end.
Mm-hmm.
You go and look at his numbers, and he does not even lead them in scoring. It's Jaren Jackson. I've thought about betting on Ja a few times. I think I did once with Kevin Hanglid's underdog throughout the year. And I'm like, this point total is really, really low. What's happening to him? He's gone from 27 a game, 26, 25, down to 20. So for some reason, his points per game have plummeted by 5 this year.
It's not who I am.
Yeah,
but he's 25 years old, Luka.
He's turning the ball over at the highest rate of his career, and he's shooting the least efficiently that he has throughout his entire career. And that's something where you wonder, okay, did all of that stuff that hit him a couple years ago of his own doing, for the most part, like, did all of that stuff that occurred with him the other day, did it just wear him down or take him out or do something to just kind of alter his mindset and he just didn't come back the same sort of player? And if that's the case, maybe Memphis looks at that and goes like, this is not the same guy we had here previously. We got to do something about it.
I mean, they're playing well enough. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's working. Whatever they're doing is working. And yeah, like, the same situation could be with the Mavericks, where what they were doing was working. How sustainable did the front office think it was? They didn't, obviously here didn't think it was very sustainable.
So it sounds like if Memphis suffers some type of early exit, that could ramp up even more, at least according to Howard Beck. But I haven't heard any reports about Ja this year. No one is doing Athletic Memphis. Can I not get a profile or an update on him behind the scenes and good soldier, bad soldier? You would think that would need to be out there.
Just read the Memphis police blotter. It'll be in there somewhere, I'm sure. You're the king of what value, what trade value is. What would you...
NFL trade
NFL,
value.
I'm
not touching the NBA.
Okay, trade value is totally different.
Do you think
swaps and comps and this and that?
Do you think if Ja gets traded, the return would be something that you would prefer over what the Mavs got?
Well, here's the... Yes, that I would prefer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're not going to trade for a 30-plus year old win now injured player.
And this is a topic that I was out the day after, and you know, all the other chaos and going to the Super Bowl. Nico could, and I asked this on social media, Nico could very easily say, guys, we did get 5 first round picks. We got 1, and Anthony Davis is worth 4. And you could.
Yeah,
if Anthony Davis got traded, let's just say the Lakers put him on the block 3 weeks ago. What would his return have been? So what I was asking Mavs fans is, would you rather have 4 firsts or Anthony Davis? You weren't going to probably get Anthony Davis a first and then 5 ones. Anthony Davis is a 30 and 15 dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he can be on the court. You know what I mean? So would you rather have 4 firsts or Anthony Davis? I think the Memphis Grizzlies would probably take the 4 first. Nico and the Mavs said, we still have Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
We still got PJ. We still got win now bigs. We got a win now team. And I want the win now player.
And Max Christie. Who Max Christie has...
Tim McMahon joked in some circles, they're starting to call it the Christie trade.
That's what it is.
No, but seriously.
That's who's playing.
It's not a silly question at all to say, would you rather have 4 first or Anthony Davis?
I do think if he were to get traded, I don't think he gets 4. I don't think. Maybe he does, but I don't think Anthony Davis would have gotten 4 necessarily. But, I mean, if you say he could have gotten 3 and we really like Max Christie's upside and we also got a first-round pick, that equals up. Yeah, I mean,
getting 3.
Yeah. I could, especially after that.
Yes.
Especially after that profile on Nico and the way he thinks, I could definitely see him explaining it that way.
877-881-1053 here on DFW Sports Stations. What is going on with all the airplanes? And did Shador give us another draft clue based upon the Madden team that he plays with? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Is Deion's kid playing even more NFL draft games? Good morning, Metroplex. Hump Day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby, trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible on your official home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Shedeur Sanders, who we thought was going to the New York Giants because he had blue and red cleats, then took issue, I guess, with Field Yates, projecting him to go number six to the Raiders. The Raiders were a team. We're like, nah, all right, that's happening. He's definitely going there. And now Shedeur may be dropping another breadcrumb as he says his favorite Madden team to play with is the Cleveland Browns. Said no one ever outside of Ohio.
I don't even think they said it.
Quote, I like how they move around on there. I like the setup. I want the most random, I want the random teams you played with in video game sports. I can't stand when someone just says, give me the Warriors, you know, give me the Bulls back in the day. Give me the Rams when they were just throwing it around. I like to play with different teams to play with the different players or different styles. So whether it's video baseball, basketball, hockey, football, who was kind of like your surprise team that you would pick that you were really, really good with, because the Cleveland Browns would qualify if Shedeur is telling the truth. 877-881-1053. College basketball, college football as well.
Yeah. Tecmo Bowl. Cleveland took him to the title back in like the 80s. Wow. I liked Kevin Mack.
Kevin Mack.
You know, had a good
rush. Linebacker?
Attack. No, running back.
Okay.
Running back. Him and Byners. They had a good rushing attack. I liked the Browns as a kid. So that made sense for me. But I've never known anybody to, especially now.
Yeah.
The Browns were good in the 80s, but now it's like, ugh, why would you pick the Browns right now?
Is he playing with Deshaun or Jameis on
now, like, they do have, yeah, like, you know, if you had, you did have Deshaun Watson, you know, Nick Chubb. You know, they had guys on the roster that they could have. That he could have enjoyed playing with.
Amari, early on too.
He 100% creates himself as a player and makes himself the quarterback of the Browns. That's what he does. Or he probably doesn't even play with the Browns. He's just talking. But when the NCAA tournament basketball game came out in 04, whatever the one that Carmelo Anthony was on the cover for, I liked, for some reason, from back when I was watching the tournament a few years earlier, I had fallen in love with Seton Hall. So I played with Seton Hall all the time on NCAA tournament. And the two random teams that I would play with were Seton Hall and Holy Cross. Because Holy Cross always gave everybody trouble in the tournament. And so I didn't want to play with like Syracuse or UConn or one of those. So I would change it up.
I would always play with the Terps. I think it was the Coach K video game. Whatever, one of the ones on Sega. I was in love with college basketball. And I would play with the Terps, but that was a local thing. And then the Georgetown Hoyas, man. Press, because they would press everybody. Press, and I'm like, all right, let's just try to press about the entire game.
And, you know, if you got good at the game, it wasn't fun to play with a big school anyway. So, like, if you were good in college football, you would play with Army or UConn or, like, a MAC school, right? You know, you want to take them to the title.
I played with the Orioles a lot, like, 5-6 years ago on MLB The Show because they were so bad. And, like, in franchise mode, I wanted to be able to just draft. Like, I want a draft position for the sake of building it.
Not a hot take here, but I was the, in Madden 2004, I believe, I was the Michael Vick Falcons.
Oh, so you're cheating.
You're cheating. It's cheating. But 940 says Navy and college football. 575 says the Nuggets on NBA Jam. 682 says they use the Mariners in MLB The Show because of Griffey.
Cameron Braden over on YouTube says Texas State on NCAA 25.
The Bobcats.
Yeah.
Texas State. Navy's a great one because triple option.
Triple option. I threw an ottoman across the room because my roommate kept beating me with Nebraska.
Yep. And I smashed the lamp annoying. Because of Mike Vick. Let's roll out left. Sprint left from my brother and either chunk a bomb or just run around down the sideline.
How would Gruden do that call?
Which one?
Sprint left with Vic. He would probably throw 16 other words in there, some weird letters, a fruit.
All he would care about is the snap count.
No, he actually wouldn't. And you'll hear that in the Schottenheimer audio later. Gruden actually wants all the calls short.
All right, what's going on with these airplanes?
Well, I guess that depends on who you ask. So the most recent incident was in Toronto at their airport where a Delta flight, technically Endeavor, landed and then flipped over. And nobody knew how this thing happened initially. And then it, what appears to be a pilot of another plane that was waiting to take off captured the video that everyone sees. And it is clear that this pilot had just the hardest landing of all time, completely crushed his landing gear, and that's how the thing flipped over. Because there was, I mean, he went down, and there was no, they do like a flare up where they kind of pause. He went, bam, right into the runway. And I don't know if there was like snow on the ground where he couldn't see the runway or whatever, or the marks. No idea. But you don't see that. You don't see a landing that hard. And it's going to, you know, they're going to find out whether or not this Endeavor, who's like a subsidiary of Delta, has very low threshold of hours that you have to be a pilot. Because it could be like, you know, some airlines have in America 3,000 hours before you can become a commercial pilot. Some have like less than that. Some have like 1,500. Who knows what theirs are? And that might be a big issue, that this could have been a very young pilot or very new pilot, especially new to the aircraft, and hard landing, because he crushed his landing gear.
Did you see the video of it?
I think I am. I never know what to trust nowadays.
I posted one.
It's coming down. It catches on fire really quick, rolls over, yeah. And then there's black smoke. I do wonder if what they're going to say, because I don't know. It looks like, though, them rolling over into snow may have like
helped
save them and extinguish that.
I would bet.
I was like, this thing didn't engulf in total flames?
Yeah. I mean, like, again, the snow, Bobby's right. The snow might have actually put out
rolling over a lot might of that have fire. Saved them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you touch the ground, you breathe your sigh of relief, and then you perish?
Well, think of the last two incidents. This and then the collision. The collision was at about 300 feet.
Yeah.
They were not even a mile away from the runway. They were probably 5 football fields from the runway.
Takeoffs always scared me more. Now I'm going to be scared of landings.
And then, you don't act scared as you're being a jackass trying to scare your wife landing from the Super Bowl in New Orleans, going, look out for the helicopters. Make sure there's no helicopters, you know, in the cross path. Mm-hmm. So you don't like people messing with you on takeoff, but for some reason you like to mess with others and scare them. It has no effect on us, though. Maybe your wife. It feels like what's happening now with the planes, though, is what happened with the trains a few years ago.
All the train derailments.
Derailing. Oh, yeah. Why are they falling off the tracks? Are they all getting old at the same time? And now we're getting all these plane incidents as well.
Trains, I mean, that could have been the infrastructure of the tracks. Like you said, the tracks were old. I don't know how old these planes are. They're both the same kind of plane. Both of them. That's just a coincidence, because the incidents weren't like related to each other in any way. The first one, unless you're a conspiracy theorist who thinks that this was a planned collision, that the Army helicopter was trying to collide with the jet, you know, this one seems it was on like a pilot error.
All right, what else is happening?
Okay, so this is funny how, you know how you could change your hotspot on your phone? And mine just says like RJ's phone, right? Our great Ted Nichols Payne had some cyclist.
Yeah.
Some Tour de France cyclist.
Or something was.
So you could change it. Well, a flight was delayed. An American Airlines flight going to Charlotte from Austin was delayed late last week because somebody's hotspot said, I have a bomb.
Oh, gosh.
And when somebody, you gotta be kidding me. Like, and when somebody goes to, you know, turn on the hotspot, the Wi-Fi, they see this and they alert the flight attendant or whoever, and they delayed the flight. Very, 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 you know, small delay. But
did someone have to change that, like, in the airport? You didn't have that outside of the airport, right? You didn't have that Monday through Thursday. You changed that to be a dumbass.
They probably
on
did.
The day of the flight?
I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're not naming their cell network that just for walking around in life. They clearly did it, like, there.
So they went in. They swept the luggage for explosives. They took dogs in, whatever. They swept the cabin. And they found out it was not that the guy changed the Wi-Fi settings.
I shockingly got stopped twice.
Well.
Not a well. And I missed. I had to go on separate buses. This was flying out of Cabo. And I missed the bus that my wife was on. So I had to go on the second bus that went on over to the plane. It was like, random screening.
Yeah, of random. Of course it's a random. And my wife emasculated me. I said, I'm going to make this a topic. This is the first topic from the trip flying out there. You know, I let her go first on the plane. And she sits down in the window seat. And I'm sitting there waiting for a little bit. And nothing's happening. And she's just looking out the window, getting out her AirPods and everything. And I sit down in the middle seat. And I wait for about 5-10 minutes. And I said, why are you sitting there? And she's like, what do you mean? I said, and this may be a sexist thing. I said, you're emasculating me right now. I'm the husband. I'm the guy. I can't sit in the middle. The girl sits in the middle. And she's like, what, really? That guy's in the middle. I said, I guarantee you they aren't married. There's no way. No couple has the guy, unless you're dead tired and you're going to lean your head against the wall and you need to fall asleep, or maybe you have the baby. I don't know. If you're childless and you're not exhausted, no man sits in the middle seat. And I let my wife do it on the way there, but definitely not on the way back. I had to open my mouth and say
on the way
something.
Back.
Yeah. But I just thought she was gonna be like, okay, like I'm smaller, I need to sit in the middle, and it didn't happen. Am I wrong? Man card violation.
I don't know if it's a man card, it's very chivalrous.
No, I
you
wasn't.
You get the chivalrous card. No, I said you could have like played it like that.
I could have played it like
got
that.
The chivalrous card.
No, but then you're setting the tone that you're going to keep doing that.
Right.
No, this was a big, big mistake.
I don't know that it's a man card violation. I just feel like it's common sense that like the smaller person usually sits in the middle.
Yeah,
like that's just
it's a female card violation actually.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like I feel like it's just a like hey, this is just common sense for everybody to be at maximum comfort here. You take the middle seat here.
Yeah,
that's what I would think.
So Peyton, what would you do? What would happen in y'all's situation?
No, I'm with you. I tell her where to sit. I said, all right, look, I'm gonna sit here. Then you sit there. But I mean, I get it in the sense of like if there's some random dude or something in the aisle seat, you know, right there. It's like if you don't want your girl, your wife, or fiance to sit right there next
good
to them.
Gosh, man, are you jealous as hell. I don't care if she's sitting next to a man with me sitting right there.
I didn't say I was doing it. I said I get it.
That's what came to your head. That's what came to your brain.
Came to your head.
Man, are you sure you're not Hispanic? 877-881-1053 to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Bobby Belt heading out to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. What else did he find out about the Cowboys' new coaches? Bobby gives you the report and the audio next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.